Now, I've learned a long time ago not to care about what people think. You know, God will bring the people that he needs to bring, and God will remove the people that he needs to remove. I was sharing with some of the guys and some of the people earlier, I do not chase after anybody. As much as I would love to go, hey, I haven't seen you for a couple of weeks. As much as I would love to even reach out. And Sam, remember, you know, there's a couple of times where Sam gets, you know, and as much as I reach out, I want to reach out so bad, I will not call. Because I know, whatever it might be, don't hold anything in your life. Set it all go. Let it all go. And if it's meant to be, it'll come back. God is the one who hardens hearts. God is the one who softens hearts. Don't feel as though that you need to reach out. Don't listen to these laws and lies that we've been coming under. If God wants you to have a relationship, he'll put that relationship together. Always remember that. Because you will look at yourself and feel guilty and feel ashamed because you feel as though that you didn't do something. We get our salvation not through works. We get our salvation through faith. And then faith works. So please understand, because I want us to understand the relationship with God. I want the intimacy with God. My job is to bring you to an intimacy with God. But for one thing, we need to break and destroy the law that we live under. And everything that we know is a law. And we have to throw everything we know away so that we will know him the more. Trust me on this. Because when I was in that realm, when God started to take me to a place that I don't know if many people have reached there. But in that realm, he began to realize or reveal to me, and I began to realize that the things that we know on earth are opposite to the things that we know. I'm going to clarify what I just said. The things that we know are opposite to the things that we should know. We were born reversed. The law that we are under is reversed. For example, you need to humble yourself before what? Exactly right. You need to do what? Give before you can what? Receive. Do you see the opposite? Okay. Well, we need to understand that we were encamped in prison under a law. And this law, and Ken, God is moving on your heart about the law. And Jesus was one who we respect because he's in this book, and this book wrote about him. I know him. I met him. And hopefully you'll hear it in my book. And I will never disrespect who he is because he is one of the King of Glory. One of. He says there'll be many, but he is one of. He is my brother.
Firstborn of many.
And with that being said, he defiled the laws. He said he didn't say, I came to destroy them, but he said, I come to fulfill them. And we're here to fulfill all law, not literally disrespect the laws that are here on earth, but to overcome them and fulfill them in a greater way. And I thank God because we feel as though that we have every right to worry. It's almost to the point where you look bad if you don't feel concerned. You look bad in people's eyes if you aren't there calling and reaching out and getting involved. And you look bad And you even have put that same law on top of you, so now you carry guilt because you're not feeling to do it. This is what Jesus was talking about. He says he's coming to fulfill the law, not to destroy it. Yes, you should have a care. You should be concerned. But to the point where you give it to the Father and let the Father work things out. Let God move on their hearts. Let God bring life into them. Let God be the master of his creation. Not us, because we're not gods. You can't fix anything. Unless their ears are open to hear. And only God does what? Open up the ears so that they can hear. So who's ultimately in control? I want everyone to begin to see what life is really about so that we can live free. We need to have these burdens. We need to have these cares. We need to be free from the laws of the world, the cares of the world. This is what he was talking about. Not a real nice car. Not a real nice home. Not a real nice appearance of dress and clothes and things. They are not cares. The cares of the world are the things that cause your heart to be troubled and tormented. They're the cares of the world. And I want to share something here. I want everyone to understand my God so that they will have an intimate relationship with the truth, the God of truth. And how many people realize that there are many gods? There are so many gods that some of them look just like my God. But my God's pure truth. And not many people understand. You know how many people get offended by me? Because of my joy. You know what? And you have every right, because you know why? There are many wolves in sheep's clothing.
I believe it.
You know how you know you got the right one? Because I will never control you. I will never tell you what you have to do. The only thing that I'm concerned is if you follow that law written right on your heart. You will never see me judge you. And you'll never see me try to control you. You're your own person, and it's your relationship with God. And I hope you find him. My God will always be my God, my Father. And I hope and pray that you find him too. And then our gods become the same. But until then, they're not. Intimacy is everything, and that's what it's all about. And believe inside you, and believe who you are, and then you have the right God. That's how you know my God. My God will give you confidence. My God will give you boldness. My God will not allow you to be hurt because of what someone said. My God will make you offend people, because these offenses must come. You have the right one. I want to share something with you, because God wants to strengthen our hearts. He wants to strengthen our hearts because he wants to bring us into the kingdom. And the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. That's how you know you got the right God. Are you manifesting a peace that surpasses all understanding? If something is troubling your heart, are you really in the right presence of God? Now, all of our hearts get troubled, okay? And these trials will come, but they're the chastening of God. And until you're awakened and quickened to know that these situations are all because of God's love, then you don't have the right God. Until you can rejoice through the sufferings, then you know you got the right God, because God will put his joy in you. That everything comes from him. Nothing is on your own. You cannot manifest joy on your own. It's superficial and it only lasts for a moment. Most of it is masked by drugs and alcohol and things. But there's a joy that comes that is supernatural that you don't even know why you're laughing. And then you don't even know why you're crying. It's just happening. And that is a realm of glory. That is a realm of the presence of God. That's how you know you're with him, because something is happening inside supernaturally and you can't explain it. If you can explain it, then it's not him, because he is an unknown, supernatural sign, wonder, and miracle. All you do is embrace it. You know it. And you embrace it, and you don't try to figure it out. You just go with it. You hold on to it tight, and you never let it go. And then you know it felt so good, there's no explanation, but you're consumed. That's how you know you have the right God. That's how you know. It's not a tradition. It's not a way of life. It's not the 10 steps or what have you. If you're trying, you might be trying too hard.
It's just a happening.
It's a happening. It's just a manifestation of I am. You're on the right road. And with that being said, I want to speak about the chastening of the Lord. Because not only is this real foreign to us, but we need to learn it. It says here, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten?" Now, I want to stop there for a moment, because how many of us are dads here? You know, and we could be spiritual dads too. How many... Here, I'll take my brother Sam here. He's not a father in natural, but he's a spiritual father. How many sons have you slapped around? And did you slap them around because you loved them? Or did you slap them around because you just felt like being abusive? You loved them. And that's the same thing as our Father in heaven. You might not know him, but he knows you. And he's been knocking at your door and calling your name for a very, very long time, because he created you. He's our creator. He birthed you. You might not realize this, and that's okay, because 99.9% of the world doesn't know this. They look too much carnal, and they look carnally as their earthly father. But our earthly father is supposed to be a mirror image of our heavenly father, because there is a supernatural love that comes from a birth of a mother and a father and a child. Amen? I look at Mare back there, and she is one of the perfect mothers, because she has a love for her child. And she has love for other children, don't get me wrong. But you cannot deny the love of a child, of her child. And it's evident. It is evident. And I really respect a lot of those people out there that nurture children, but there's something about your own that just drives you crazy. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing with our Heavenly Father. We drive them crazy. There's something special about us in God that just drives them crazy. He loves us. And the love that is for us is so beyond what we can even imagine, how much He cares and loves us. And just as much as when we get out of line, He strengthens us. And He corrects us. And all the chastening from God is to strengthen one thing and one thing only, your heart. He's trying to establish your heart to be strong so that your heart is not easily troubled. But the only way that your heart can be strong is if you know that you have God and He is able to take care of everything that you need. It's a trust and a love. I would like to say faith, but first of all, faith doesn't come unless you have trust and love. Don't try to build your relationship on faith, because it's just like an illegitimate son that is supposed to believe that this is your father and that he's supposed to take care of you, but there is lacking something, and that lack is love. I've seen many, many people try to find God through faith alone, and it isn't going to happen. It's not going to happen. You have to have love. There has to be a love connection somewhere. That's supernatural. Just like an earthly father and its child. If that father is normal, if it's not consumed with hurts, because hurts cause us to be abnormal. The offenses in an individual causes us to be sick and abnormal. And they're only sick and abnormal is because they have never experienced love themselves. So if you ever want to know why, it's because they've never been healed. And they just need healing. They're not bad. They just need love. And they try to go all over the place and find it. And then that's what even makes it even harder, because they can't find it. And then what happens? They get angry. And they get bitter. And they get hard. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's so hard to break a rock. Depending on what type of rock it is. And some rocks are really, really hard. But God wants to stop this. Those out there that have been trying to find God, it's not your fault. You just didn't know how to find Him. We were under a law. And this law caused us to think a certain way. This law caused us to look naturally, and we were born natural. And we saw our heavenly or our earthly father, or we saw earthly things that caused us to feel the way we felt. And we got to let that go. How many of us here had a really fantastic father? Good. Because you have an edge on a lot of most people. Those that didn't have a really good father, maybe a hard man, it's going to take a little bit. Because we were brought up with a certain expectation, and we were let down. And I hope and pray that you were loved. I hope and pray that you will be able to find love. You know, love's a mystery. We know one love. Everyone can understand that one, right? But there's another love that does something inside, that gives you a sense of confidence, and a sense of trust. When I see a relationship like yours, I see love. Because only the two of you share that most intimate stuff. And you can really be free around him. Your insecurities aren't there. That's love. But when you can't share your insecurities publicly, then you're falling out of love. We should be transparent no matter where we're at. Then you know you're in love. And this is the love that I want to talk about, because we need to come into God. We need to come into this relationship with him. And when we're in that relationship, has anyone ever been in love before and there could be a party going on and the only thing you see is him and her? Nothing else is really going on. You don't even hear the noise or the sound or, you know, the music or anything. All you do is see them. You're connected. That's it. Yeah, I'll be there in a minute. There's nothing else around. That's love. And when we can find God and have that relationship, there's nothing else around. You just have this oneness. Even though your awareness is heightened, believe me, you know what's going on in the next room. But there's no separation in taking you there. Now, I want to get back to the chastening of the Lord, because no one likes chastening. No one likes, you know, when it's happening. No one likes inconveniences. No one likes it when it's started. But when you know love, when you know God, when you begin to start understanding who he is, that pain goes away. There is no pain. There is no suffering in the kingdom of God. There is no suffering in the realm of glory. There is no pain. And so that suffering might be only a moment, but as soon as you acknowledge that it's from him, as soon as you know that he is taking you to a better place and he's equipping you and making you stronger, that pain goes away. You start rejoicing in the pain. You start thanking him because you know that you're going to turn out to be something equipped. It's like I shared earlier with Sam. We were talking this week, was it? And I mentioned about bodybuilding. And nobody likes the pain of lifting weights, but they endure the pain because they know that afterwards they're going to be buffed and looked good, you know? How many people have ever went on a diet before? They're the worst, ain't they? And they don't work. But going through it, it is a suffering. But we're hoping for results. I will say, God knows our hearts. And God will work through you. I believe as soon as we let it go and we rejoice in it, that's when we get what we want. We begin to start manifesting what we're looking for. And through the chastening, I want us to understand that life is going to be nothing but. You're never going to go through life easy. I don't care who you are. You might look easy on the outside. And there's a lot of people that look easy on the outside. But only you know what you're suffering in the inside. Only you know the pain. No one can really relate to that pain other than God. And so even the greatest, richest people are suffering out there. And they're suffering inside. I used to really feel discouraged in my heart when I used to minister to people who were pretty well off. And they would be like, I don't really need God. You know, the power is in you. And, you know, you can make your destiny and you can make your future and you can make this happen and you can make that happen. And all you need to do is be a positive thinker and all this other stuff. And you know, I don't need your God. And, you know, until God revealed some of those secrets and then he realized and she realized they needed God. But everyone is dying inside. Everyone is crying inside. There is not one who's not, other than those that have a relationship with the true living God. And even then, he puts fire on you. Don't think that the fire will ever stop. It will never stop. But you might not realize when you were first in the fire, it was only 5 degrees. The fire that you're enduring now, when you're in him, might be 250 degrees now. And you can't really notice or see how he already strengthened you. When I look at you, I see someone who has endured much fire. And that fire that you have coming to you in the future is probably close to maybe 450 degrees, where most can't handle it. So we need to rejoice and realize that every time we can endure a hotter fire, do you know what's happening to you and your salvation and your relationship? It's being purified. And the more that you can endure the chastening of God, the more you can endure that fire, the truth will reveal to you the greater diamond that you're becoming. He's chiseling out the coal. He's breaking away the black coal that is encamped around our whole being. And eventually we will become that glowing diamond that God longs to desire for all of us to be. Do you know that you're a diamond in God's eyes? Just covered with some coal. Just covered with some black goopy that he needs to just chisel away. But God doesn't look at the black goopy that you see. He sees that pure, beautiful diamond that's inside of you. And he wants the whole world to see. So what a person thinks in their heart, so they are. They become that individual. How many want to become the diamond? Let's be real. We want to shine. I want the world to see what God has done in my life. I want the world to see how beautiful I am. But I'm beauty in him. See, a lot of people might get offended by the way I am because, oh, you're prideful. You're conceited. You're this, you're that. I'm going to tell you right now, I boast in him. I thank God that my life has changed because I was on the verge of being done with this world. I had a bullet ready to go right into my mouth. I was ready to slice and bleed out. I was out of here because I felt as though that nobody cared nor understood. And yes, I went through fire and I wasn't a weak person. And I'm going to tell you right now, I was far from weak. But life will take any man down. Especially when you're alone. And I was alone. I wasn't weak at all. And it hurts me so bad when people say weak people go to God. And it's only nothing but a bunch of weak people who are developing a relationship with God. And I like to just spit in their face. Give me an opportunity and I will. And then hope that my spit turns into acid and just burns them. And then when they repent, watch God restore them and give them a better looking face because it was ugly to begin with. That's why I spit in it. Because all it was ugliness. But having a relationship with God is not for weak people. I was strong and God knew I was strong, and that's why he chose me. He says, I'm choosing you because you're strong enough to be a fool for me. And he saw what I was and what I can be. And so he chose me. And for the longest time, I hid the call. I hid it. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I was under a law. Because it's for weak people. Having a relationship with God is for weak people. And I knew in my heart I wasn't weak. And so I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed to say I know God. Because I didn't want to be looked upon as one of those weak people. But I'm going to tell you right now, you need to be strong to have a relationship with God. You need to be able to be so strong to put all your trust and all your hope and everything that you dream of and everything that you desire and everything that you wish to put in something into something you can't see and walk away from it hoping that everything's going to be okay. That takes a strong person. And there's not many strong people out there. Many are called, but few are chosen. And I'm going to tell you right now, when God called you, he saw a strong person. He saw a strong relationship that can do great and mighty things. They saw something that nothing can stop. They saw something when they got their mind made up, they weren't quitting. And they weren't giving in. That's what heaven saw when they saw you. They saw someone that can bring their dreams and hopes to pass. Not worrying about what the world might think. Not being concerned about what others might feel or say. Because they didn't come under a law. They knew that something wasn't right. You knew from the day that you were awakened that something wasn't right. And God started to move on your heart, but you just didn't know what direction to go. You had no idea what to hear. You were lost and afraid, and I don't blame you. Because many have deceived you, and I'm going to tell you right now, they will have their judgment when time comes. They weren't speaking from here, nor were they speaking from their experiences. I will not tell you anything if I don't know the truth. So every word that I speak, I know. It is not false or fabricated or try to tickle or tweak your ears for any way, shape, or form. I don't care. My life is in him, and he is, my boldness comes from him. Everything that is in me comes from him. And will I tell you I'm weak? Yes, I am weak. But I'm not weak. Do I fall short of his glory? Oh, yeah. But the more I know him, the quicker I pick myself up. As soon as it cracks and knocks at my door, I have quick recognition to see it. I can recognize it. I know that this is not of him, and this is of that one who is trying to tear me down and destroy me. This is the one. I know the difference between the two voices. One is to save your soul, and that chastening from him brings joy. The other one there is one that's ready to put the knife across your veins and have you bleed out. I know the difference of the two. And I'm going to tell you right now, he's defeated. The one that tried to whisper in my ear to tell me that no one cares is now defeated. He is under my feet. And the only way I can say that is because his voice inside of me rumbles like an earthquake shakes a nation. And I hope and pray that I am shaking the nations. Because time is short, and I hope people realize that we are living on the edge of an age where things are going to change. And I hope and pray that we're equipped enough to handle the change. Don't bury your head so far deep into the sand that you can't see. If you're not concerned about outside of your life, then just stay where you're at and work out your own salvation. Because really, to be honest with you, when we leave this earth, can your neighbor save your soul? My own wife and my own children can't even save me. I stand before him alone. And as much as I love them, they're not my salvation. So don't let things around you think that they're going to save you. They're not. The only salvation that you have is that intimacy with him, the oneness with him. My girls know I love them, but they have their own life, and they need to find it. And as little as they are, 13, 12, and 11, have I given you a life? And they all can say yes. And I lead them and guide them, but I have let them go too. Because they know that they stand alone too. And the faster that we can bring those in the world and those that are listening closer to that place of knowing that only them can stand alone. No one is there to help. Only him. Your help comes from him. And that's it. Yes, God will use individuals. Don't get me wrong. But as fast as they come in, the fast as they can leave. Jesus knew it when he spoke with Peter. Peter was in a place where he's like, oh, I love you so much. Oh. And then he said, really? Really? Okay. When the things get tough, let's see if you're around, Peter. And then next thing you know, he's hiding. There he is. No, it's not me. Oh, it's not me. I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't me. You got somebody else. You're mistaking somebody else. It ain't me. Where are they going to be? Get the relationship now, because he'll never leave. He'll never forsake you. There's one day that is going to come where you will be alone. There is going to be a time, maybe not now on this earth, but maybe later. But let's talk about now on this earth. There is going to be a time where you will be alone. Is that when you're going to be afraid? Is that when you're going to start crying out for help? Because that's when the wolves come in. They smell it. They know it. They come in like sheep's clothing and, I'll be your savior. And all they want is to suck your blood. Don't be deceived. Don't be vulnerable. Don't let them use you and abuse you. We're used and abused because we're alone. I don't want anyone to be alone. You don't have to be alone. There's no need to be alone. Those that are out there now that put their relationship in another person and they don't develop that intimate relationship with God, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to have a rude awakening. Unless you leave this earth together, and then even then, after life, you're still going to have a rude awakening because you're going to stand alone. I don't see anyone standing together before the Lord as a couple. I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. I don't want to say this to hurt you, and I don't want to say these words to offend you, but I think out there, those that are listening, there are some bonded relationships that are unhealthy. And one cannot live without the other. I'm not saying that those relationships are bad. But I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to be hurt when the one is gone. How many people are understanding what I'm saying here, just alone? Amen. So that's why it's so important to develop that intimate relationship with my God. Because when that loss does come, when that separation does come, if it does, you're not hurt. This is what I'm talking about as far as the chastening of God. God protects your heart. He might have given you little relationships in between because he only gives you more than what you can handle. And so when he separates you from a little relationship, start rejoicing in that. Don't get upset because one of your girlfriends left. Don't get upset if one of your friends left. Don't get upset because, you know, God's building up intimacy. Things happen in our lives that sometimes we don't get over. How many people are holding on to a relationship that is separated and we can't seem to let it go? I believe God is going to heal that. Today, God is going to heal that. God is going to set you free from these situations because he's a jealous God and he will have no other gods before him. And he wants that intimacy. I'm going to tell you right now, my God is the bridegroom and he's looking for the bride. He wants to marry you. And when your heart is married to others carnally, it's very hard for him to come in, because God is not an abusive God. He's not one that will try to come and divorce you so that he can have a relationship with you. He's not that way. He wants you to leave that relationship and come join with him. But not leave the relationship. I love my wife dearly. We're married. Her and I are one. We're one in spirit. But she has a life. And I hope she finds it. I mean, she found it. Don't read into this weird. Okay? But she has a life. And I have a life. And we live our lives together. But you know what? She has a life and I have a life. And my life is in him and her life is in him. And so we have to understand this. Please hear what I'm saying. There are thousands of people that are listening to me on the web. And I want them all to hear what the Spirit is saying. And so we need to come to a place of realizing that we need to let go of these relationships, but not let go of them. I cherish every relationship I have. I cherish my relationships deeply. Amen. That's why I love Sam so much, because when my life was changed and I'd be declaring the truth, Sam would be like, that's in Romans and that's in Colossians and that's in here and that's in there. And I'd be like, wow, let me see this book you got. It was wonderful. And so I'm very grateful for the witness. I love him dearly, and he knows I love him dearly. But he has a life too, and I'm not one to control it, even though it rips my heart out sometimes. And even though I want to pick up that phone and say, what's up? He knows where I am. We tend to have our lives tormented because we're alone. And we need to be free of being tormented and realize that we're not alone. God has never forsook us. From the day we were born, he was always there. He's not going to throw himself on you. Believe me. He's not going to interrupt you. He's not going to bother you. But as soon as you say, I'm here, I'm ready, he'll come in. And he is a jealous God, I'm going to tell you that much. He's a very jealous God. And when you start exalting the one above him more so than he's happy about, he'll come in there and say, what are you doing? Hello? He'll bring a little trouble in your life. He'll shake you up. He'll realize. He'll show you. And then your heart will long back. And your heart will continue to long back to him. There's a union that develops in the realm of the spirit that is very difficult to comprehend. I can use some of the natural as an example of the spirit. But God is a spirit. And you need to know him in spirit. And I hope and pray that we all know him in spirit. Because you're made up of spirit. If you truly realize and know who you are, you're nothing more than a spirit, a ghost with a skin on it. And that's it. And right now, the world is walking around lost with skin on them. And they have no idea what to do or where to go or nothing. And I'm going to tell you right now, they turn to the world, and the world will only disappoint you. You will be hurt. I don't care how many friends you think you have and how many real good friends you think you have, you will be hurt. How many people have been hurt? You've trusted, you put your heart in it, you really gave it 100%, and you were so convinced that everything was going to be okay. And guess what? You were blindsided. Never thought it was going to happen. Never thought it was going to come to pass. It's because you had a call in your life. He's been knocking at your door for a long time. And he's a jealous God. Now, some people would say, how could God possibly do something like that? He's a consuming fire. He's a jealous God. He's a loving God. And he knows what is best for us. He knows that eternal life is really the bigger picture and not this world that we live in. Because the world that we live in right now is not spiritual. It's not where he comes from. It's not where you're going in this world. It's not where you're going to live here for the rest of your life. This is all going to fade away. Everything that you see, everything that you know, will all fade away. But God knows eternity. And your pain might only be for a moment. Just like your life here is only for a moment. Blink. It's that fast. But eternity has no time, no end. And he knows exactly where he wants you to be forever. He knows exactly where he wants you to be forever. 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 It's beautiful, isn't it? You're feeling his presence. You're in that glory. And that glory won't leave. God loves you. He wants more of you. And He's never going to let you go. You can fight. You can kick. You can scream. He hears it. And He's chuckling. Because eventually you're going to say, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready. And that's when you're going to feel the warmth, the hug, the comfort that you know, that you know, that you know. And you're going to flourish and bloom and blossom. Everything is going to be bright and beautiful. I want everybody to experience the life that God has for us. Restoration is coming to you. As soon as you let go, as soon as you break the bond chain that has been choking you, and you don't quite understand why, I told you why. God loves you. And you're coming into the marriage supper. And He's taking you by the hand and He's saying, you're my wife now. And I'm going to marry you and take you in my arms, and I'm never going to let you go anymore. And He will give you the natural too. Because in your heart you're saying, I don't want to be alone. But when He gives you the natural, it'll be Him with a skin. And He will love you the way you want to be loved. And He'll think of you the way you want to be thought of. And He'll give you those little special moments that you think that are so dear that most men overlook. Like maybe one flower sent to you. I thank God for the love that He has for you. Because you'll experience that here on earth. And He will break those stones and soften them up. And bring relationships back to those that long to have those relationships. I believe that God is restoring His people. And He's giving the same desire on earth as it is in heaven. But we need heaven to manifest first. And then heaven will manifest on earth. So if you're looking for something and you haven't obtained it yet, it's because you haven't established it in heaven first. So establish what you desire in heaven, and then it will come on earth. It's like a vision. See the vision. See yourself. What a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. You're thinking in heaven. You're seeing in heaven. Let it come in heaven first. And then it will come on earth. Keep dreaming, keep thinking, keep hoping. His hope. He is our hope. So manifest Him. And you will see. He'll give it to you. What I see is everything that you desire. What I see is everything that you want.
It's coming. I hope I can support you.
I hope I can bring his ministry into existence. How many people agree with me and this man over here?
Amen.
When the time is right, if it sits well in your heart, I would like to anoint you. It doesn't have to be today. But when you feel in your heart that you finally realize an anointing will come upon you, I would like to be the one to anoint you so that you will be ordained into your call by the laying on of the hands. I'd never understood the importance of someone laying hands on you and anointing you, but they have done it so far back in time where the priest would pour the oil and lay hands and yada, yada, yada. It's something that's foolish to man, but very, very orthodox for God, if that's the right word. Is that the right word? Oh, amen. I'm just going with the flow. And I know that there are many that are trying to walk in the call of God without the anointing. And they're getting knocked down. Paul, I know. Peter, I know. And Jesus, I know. But who are you? And the reason why is because they've never been anointed. They got the fire burning inside. They got it all. They got it all. But they're missing something. A man of God recognizing the anointing and releasing heaven on earth and saying, go now. Let us bow every head for a moment. Normally I call for an altar call and minister to some people, but today I believe God has ministered to us very intimately in our seats. And that's my desire. I think God is preparing my heart because he says there is going to be multitudes that are coming and you won't have time to lay hands on people. Only those that I feel really urgent to say, you get up here now. Outside of that, receive in your seats. Receive it right now. Father, I thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing the relationships that we were once in bondage with. Thank you for breaking the chains that bound us from intimacy from you. Thank you for setting us free. Taking out the hurts out of our hearts, taking out and putting compassion in. I'm going to declare this now, that the ones that you were bound to, that hurt you, God is going to now turn it around, and you are now going to have compassion, knowing that the hurts only came because their hearts were ripped up. And they didn't know how to love. It's not that you were bad. They were just abused. And you will now have a compassion. And you will have a love. That doesn't mean that you're going to run back and restore and commit your relationship back. But you're going to have compassion. And you're going to have a love and a forgiveness. And there's going to be a kindness that is going to pour out of you now. rather than an edge of bitterness and anger and resentment. You're even going to forgive debts and not expect those debts to be paid. And as soon as you forgive those debts, God is going to restore what he should have paid.
And what are we going to fear when all that remains is a God
it's coming.
With a child in his arms and love in his eyes.
So Father, I thank you, Lord.
The sound of his heart cry.
For setting us free.
Take us
I thank you, Lord. For bringing us closer to you and making us a child. I thank you, Lord, for bringing us into a place of tasting your glory and knowing with confidence that we have eternal life. This day you will be with me in paradise. You don't have to question your salvation anymore. I thank you, Lord, that you can have called me into ministry and you're preparing the way so that I can be used, because that is the desire of my heart. And that's all I think about, of how to be able to pour into this person's lives and set them free. I thank you, Lord, that you have started the fire and you haven't forgot about me. I want you to know he never forgot about you. He was protecting you. He didn't want you to come under the law. He didn't want you to come under tradition. He didn't want you to come under some foreign doctrine. He wanted you to come into the truth. He showed you. You weren't deceived. You smelled it. He gave you a gift. You saw the wolves. You knew something wasn't right. You were a good Christian. You dealt with it. You fought forgiveness. You fought judgment. But I want you to know, you had every right to feel the way you felt. We come under a law. We can't tell the difference. We can't tell the discernment between the two. We seem to feel guilty because we're supposed to love everyone. And when we feel that something's not right, we start condemning ourselves. But I'm going to tell you right now, don't condemn yourself anymore. Don't condemn yourself anymore. You're free. Everything you've done was right. Everything you've done was out of love. You haven't done anything wrong. And sometimes you feel guilty, as if you pushed them away or anything like that. But you didn't push anybody away. You didn't do anything wrong. They have their own mind. The problem is the enemy got in and perverted their thoughts and made them think things that they should have never thought of. They should have looked at the fruit. You know them by their fruit. I remember a quick testimony why we still have our hearts in that place. When God changed my life, I thought I was nuts. There was a lot of people that tried to get me in their doctrine and try to tell me what I experienced and tried to show me what the truth was. And I was deeply afraid because I didn't want to be steered in the wrong direction. And the Lord comforted me with an audible voice that shook me and trembled me. And he said, "Don't be afraid. You'll know them by their fruit. Look at their fruit. look and see. And ever since then, I know them by their fruit. There has been many false ones that came around in my life that looked good and smelled good and even was manifesting signs and wonders and miracles. But the fruit, they were lacking one thing: love. So easily hurt and so quick to run. But love covers a multitude of sin. I look around and I see love. I see love. I see love. I see love for a child that only a mother could have. I thank God for what He has done in your life. He has made you a man. And as I look at you today, I see a man. I no longer call you a boy. You're a man. And I'm proud of you because I can see you. And you're now well off. You're there. And you could take away all your doubt now because I said so. And you can hold on to my words and have confidence now. So when you start next week or this week coming up, don't feel intimidated. You're the man now. Now they are going to start listening to you. Feel confident in your guidance, in your direction. There are going to be many that are going to come to you now. And they're going to lean on you. They need you right now. Because they don't have anybody else to turn to. And you're now like a father. So then when I see you now, I see you as one of us, a father of those that need a father. So take them under your wing now and embrace them and know that you're a father now. Have a father's heart. They're all going to fall up and they're all going to trip and they're all going to fall down, and I need you to pick them up. Brush them off. Encourage them and lift them up. And as you are worthy with little, God is going to give you much. So this day is today that you are released in heaven. Walk in your call now. Embrace it and thank Him. Let us just keep soaking in the presence of God and enjoy His atmosphere. Wait on Him, because He will speak to you and He will give you the words that you need within that hour. He promised that He would restore your whole household. and He is restoring, and you're going to look back and be so proud, as a father should be. And you're going to say to yourself, I didn't even do anything. And you're right. The only thing that you did was, yes, Lord. When we submit ourselves to the call and the will of God, He shows us His love by restoring everything that the cankerworm and the locust has tried to destroy. You can't put Humpty Dumpty back together, but God can. And as soon as we begin to release it all and say yes, and we work out our own intimacy and our own relationship, He restores and gives you back many. The Lord says, if you exalt me and lift me up, I will draw all men unto me. What He is saying is, if you develop your relationship with me and lift me up and glorify my name and become one with me, I will give you all. You won't lack nothing. I know this so much is that I'm saying to the Lord, I want to be alone. I don't want these people in my life. Don't give me anybody. They're just problems. All the drama. I don't want it. I want to be left alone. I just want you and me. That's it. I'm happy. I can sit here all day and just be grateful and thankful and happy that you're who you are and got all my cares and worries, and what are you going to do? You can't take blood from a stone. It's okay. I don't want people in my life. But I love everyone, and I love them in my life. When they're in my house and they're all gathered around and we're just praising God, I love it. I don't want them to leave. I don't want anybody to go. I remember the other day, I was talking about things in heaven, and I look at my little girl, Sarah. And what happened, Sarah, when we were at the kitchen table talking about heaven? The glory came. And it just filled the room, didn't it? It was beautiful, wasn't it? Don't you want the whole world to feel what we felt? I know. Sam, you want to close? I know you're a mess, but you got to learn how to stand in that glory. My legs are shaking. I'll tell you, they're like jelly. I don't even want to let this thing go. You know, people think that this altar here is to hold my Bible. They're to hold me up. Thanks.
You know, it's one thing to love, but it's another to be loved and know that you're loved and be able to forgive yourself and know that you're worthy of being loved and that you're worthy of a better life, because you're worthy. And if you take one thing away from today, know that you're worthy for better. Start expecting better. Know that you're loved. Just keep moving forward. You know, I can't say it enough. Jump on the messages. Listen to them all the time. Don't stop. I listened to the message last night. It was everything you said today, you know, kind of in a different way. But you have to hear the same thing five different ways before you get it, I think. You know, maybe seven different times. I don't know. But it helps getting the same thing in different ways. But, I mean, I was changed today. you know, the lies come in and all you want is truth, because there's truth, there's beauty in truth. There's peace in truth, and the truth will set you free if you look at it, if you open your eyes and aren't afraid to see truth. You know, be truthful to yourself. Don't worry about anybody else. Just be true to yourself. Don't lie to yourself. If you're not happy, say you're not happy. Don't put a facade on, just let it keep getting buried. Just be real with yourself. Be real with God. Tell him, I'm not happy right now. Please help me. I'm not happy right now. Help me, please. And beg him. He'll meet you as soon as you call out to him. He'll every time with peace and joy. He just said they had it at the table. You start talking about heaven and God just shows up. Talk to the trees if you have nobody to talk to. Go outside and talk to the grass. Tell the grass how beautiful God is in your life. Tell the dog. Just speak it. And life will come in, I promise. And get into those messages. Get into those messages. Listen to them, listen to them, listen to them. We've been brainwashed our whole lives with lies. Our parents, our teachers, everybody gave us a foundation that was a mess, that was a lie. You know, it's like a long time ago, they said it's brainwashing, but pastors said, no, it's washing your brain. It's not brainwashing, it's washing your brain, it's cleaning your brain. Because remember, as you think in your heart, so it is. That's all that matters, is thinking right. Keeping truth and not allowing the lie to take your peace and your joy. So if you're all ready, just bow your heads. And Father, we just like to thank you for this day. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for choosing us out of this world, Father. You could have chose anybody, but you chose us. You said the eyes of the Lord look to and fro throughout the whole earth for a heart that's perfect towards him. And his eyes stopped on you and said, you're perfect towards him. You were handpicked for such a time as this. Know who you are. Know who you are. You're chosen and you're a royal priesthood. God has a purpose for you, and the time is now. Father, we thank you for your presence, and we can't wait until your next message. Have a great week, guys. Amen.